You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Hey, did you know that the Torture Pod has merch? Yeah, over at redbubble.com/people/torturepod, we have a whole bunch of different items that you can wear, adorn on your phone or your computer or your car to show your love for torture. We have Brazen Bull t-shirts. You can have the torture logo on a mug. Gilded Array on Hat Day on a hat, if that's what you choose. Welcome to La Tumba shower curtains. I mean, literally, anything you want. iPhone cases with sort your fucking life out on them. I mean, how much better does it get? And remember, all Pride merch sold, profits go directly to the Trevor Project. So you're also helping people in the process of showing your love for the podcast. Just go to redbubble.com/people/torturepod. And as all the kids these days say, get your fit on, bro. I don't know if that's what they say or not. I'm not cool. The subject of today's episode is a device that was both the inverse and the companion of another instrument of pain that we covered on our season 1 finale. Used through the reigns of Henry VIII and Elizabeth I inside the dreaded Tower of London, it was the perfect complement to the notorious rack, because as the rack would stretch you, this gadget would fold you in half. We'll travel to 16th century England to meet the administrative Nepo baby that would create this device, whether it be the original hinged style or the smaller, more portable for your executioner's needs version. Consisting of either an iron frame or iron bands, it went by several different names, including the stork, the iron shackle, the Spanish cravats, the iron brace, Spanish A-frame, and the Skivington's Gyves. Today we give you, on our season 3 finale, The Scavenger's Daughter. I'm Kevin Young.
And I like to prance around the house in my wife's underwear when no one's at home.
That was torture.
It felt good to me.
Ah, there you go. Have you seen the trend going on social media where the man and wife will be in bed and the wife will look at him and go, take my clothes off? And he'll be like, no. And she'll go, take my clothes off. And he'll get out of bed and he'll be like wearing her nightgown and be like, but I feel pretty.
No, I haven't. I will now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Dan, how you doing? You been up to?
Ah, good. As tired as always, you know.
I hear
working,
you.
House working. You know, yeah. Getting there, though. You have to.
Yeah, little by little.
Yeah. Little by little. Plumbers coming next week. A couple of big jobs. Yeah, they're about to tile the bathroom.
Yeah. It's been a while since we sat down and talked.
How are you?
What's going on? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
Yeah. About us not meeting up as often as we should. We'll talk a little bit about that near the end of the show, about what's been going on and what you can look forward to in the future. But otherwise, yeah. Saw 28 Years Later.
Lovely.
I know there's
topic.
There's a lot of people complaining about it. Personally, we loved it. It's got its fast-paced parts. It's got its slower parts. Well, it's not fast-paced enough. I want more mayhem and chaos. It's like there's quite a bit of mayhem and chaos, but it's not a 100-mile-a-minute thing. They're telling a story.
Yeah, like the first one wasn't 100 miles a minute.
No,
either.
There
I
was
should, no. I watched
downtime.
It 2 days ago.
They're in the fucking apartment.
The whole lead-up to that as well. It starts really slow, has a little bit of a fast-paced bit, goes really slow again. And then the next fast-paced bit isn't until they're, like, in the tunnel. And that's 3 seconds. And then there's another long, slow bit, like, where they're on their road trip and stuff like that. And it doesn't pick back up again.
Until they get to the fucking mansion or whatever.
Yeah, until he lets hell loose in the mansion is the next time it picks up. So there's literally 3 fast-paced action-y bits in it. And 2 of them are only about fucking 30 seconds long. So fuck up, people.
That's about what you get with this one.
That's what you want.
It's got a slow build, and then it gets kind of chaotic. It gets a little gross. It gets gory. It gets violent, which is what you're looking for. And then there's a lull, and then it does it again, and then there's a lull. I know a lot of people are complaining about the ending. What? That's stupid. Well, for one, I'm not going to tell you anything about the ending because I can't tell you one part of it without giving, like, a good portion of it away.
Does it end with a lot of the infected appearing out of the tunnels, the train tunnels in Paris, and it pans up and shows that's Paris, and it's like, they're setting it up for another one that they never made. Even though they said in the first one that they were in Paris, in the first few minutes you find out that apparently they were in Paris. But, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
I digress. Go on. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I can't. So I'll do your best not to see any spoilers, because if you see any spoilers, it's going to ruin the ending. And the ending, I know that you and Allison are big on trying to figure out the whatever is going to happen. I can guarantee you, if you haven't seen any spoilers, there is no possible way in hell you could figure out what the end of this movie is going to be. Zero chance. Go see the movie, and I want you to text me through... I want you to text me while you're in the movie telling me what you think
this
the ending is going to be as it goes on. Until you get there, then you're going to be like, what the fuck?
Turns out... It turns out it's an episode of the Rugrats the whole time.
Yeah. Dude, when
and
we
it's
came
just
out
all
of,
in their imagination.
Did you guys have Care Bears over there?
We did, yeah.
Yeah. So when we came out of Avengers Endgame... The last one. Everybody wanted to know what happened. Well, I did it on Avengers Infinity War too, but Avengers Endgame, I come out and there's just a ton. We went to an earlier show and there's a ton of people in there just waiting to get in.
I can't believe Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father the whole time.
I look at my wife and I was like, who would have thought Care Bears out of left field with that Care Bear stare? Holy shit. And I just walk out and people are like, huh? And
oh,
when we came
bastard.
Out of Infinity War, everybody knew that somebody was going to die, or something horrible was going to happen in Infinity War, because there's everybody posting a lot about how sad people were leaving. And we come out of there, and I go, "Killed off the fucking Ninja Turtles, man!" it's just fun to fuck with people.
I was actually really tempted when I walked out. There during like we're walking through and again just people around outside and it's nearly every time actually I'll correct myself every time I walk out and there's people outside I'm always tempted to say I can't believe Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father. Always so goddamn tempted.
Yeah,
there will be one time I'll do it and somebody will get it, you know, hopefully. But see, the other problem is, all right, so this whole thing with the movie, and I haven't seen it yet obviously, right, but See, what this is called is it's called pacing, people. Right? Yeah. And movies are not 100 mile a minute things. That I think that's a big problem nowadays with younger people and attention span. We've kind of talked about this before. But the attention span just isn't there. If it's not just go, 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 go,
mm-hmm.
then you lose them after a few minutes of it slowing down. And that's the sort of movie, though, that needs to have those kind of slow bits. You know what I mean? It's not like, was it 2003 or something like that the remake of Dawn of the Dead came out?
Around that time.
Maybe it was a little bit later than that. I can't remember exactly. But like, I mean, like, that was very fast-paced, especially compared to the original, because, again, they had to start making them faster and have far more going on, because even back then our attention spans were slipping a bit. But it doesn't need to be going 100 miles an hour.
But even that, you still have that large part in the middle where they're just hanging out in the mall, having a good time.
Yeah.
You got the little montage, and then they're playing
like golf on the roof and shit like that.
Guess the celebrity with the guy across the street. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yes, pacing. And this is one of those movies where if you don't like slower times, but that's dialogue heavy and trying to, you know, come to terms with specific things that are happening. Again, I'm not going to say anything. If you can't handle that, then you're not going to like the fucking movie. It was the worst movie I've ever seen.
Transformers then, or some shit. Like, or,
yeah, no shit. Yeah.
Go, you know, or yeah. What's the, like, or the Expendables or some crap. Like, the thing is well, anything that's like a horror based thing.
Crank.
Shouldn't be super fast paced. Crank.
No.
Yeah. You know, but it should be like, look at like the likes of Insidious, right? They're not the greatest movies ever made. But they actually are. I thought they were done very well pacing wise, stuff like that. Like in things like, was it one of the Insidious things?
Sinister was really good actually.
But
Sinister, because you knew you were gonna get those scares.
Wasn't the Nun? There was something with nuns in it that we watched that was related to one of these other series, like the Annabelle series or
Conjuring
some shit like
series.
The Conjuring ones. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the pacing of those was fantastic. You know. And
yeah. Well, up until the last one, The Devil Made Me Do It, was fucking horrible. But
sorry, wasn't as good. No,
yeah, well, I was not a fan.
No. But yeah, no. Look, it's all a load of shit. I never listen to people's opinions, right? Well, that things like TikTok and crap like that.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of people on TikTok lately trying to tell you how you can make money on TikTok, but you have to engage and watch through every person's video, and before they can even finish the words, watch the whole video. I'm swiping. Nope, too long. You talk too much. If you could just stay for 10 seconds so I can do this. So let me tell you a story. Nope, get to the point. I don't fucking care. Just keep swiping.
Whereas I'd sit there and watch a 40-odd minute long video of somebody reviewing a single guitar pedal. Yeah. No hassle. Absolutely no problem. You know, I'd sit there and
watch
the intricacies between when the volume is at nothing and the sweep between 0 and 9 o'clock and then towards 12 o'clock. It's like, oh my God, it's changing! You know?
So. You love what you love.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. Okay. Dan, let's take you back to the year 1580, specifically December 9th in England. You are a priest. That is your birthday, isn't it?
It's my birthday, yeah.
Yes, December 9th, 1580. Dan is hundreds of years old.
What did I do this time?
Well, you are a priest known as Luke Kirby. So, honestly, you could have done a whole plethora of things. Catholic priest.
Luke Kirby, eh? Sounds like a really... really crap.
That's the type of name you're looking for in 1580s England. Yeah. Luke Kirby. And you have just been transferred to the dreaded Tower of London a few days earlier. You see, you had the misfortune of being born in the mid-16th century, about 1549, near Richmond, Yorkshire, England, and deciding in your mid-20s to convert to Catholicism. You would attain an M.A. at Cambridge? Nope, never would. And then in 1576, you became an ordained priest. After traveling and furthering your studies, you make the horrible mistake of returning to England in June of 1580. Upon landing at Dover, you were almost immediately arrested.
Here's my crime. Get him!
Your crime? Well, you're a Catholic priest in England during the reign of the very wishy-washy, as far as religion goes, Elizabeth the First.
Our old buddy Liz.
Yes, we've talked about before. Go listen to our Rack episode. And even though your official charge is of conspiracy against the Queen, we all know it's because you are Catholic and old Liz doesn't like the Catholics. At least not this time you're arrested. At least not at the time you're arrested. If you would have waited a few months, that might have changed. Who knows?
Or if it was on a Tuesday.
Anyways, after a six-month imprisonment at the Gatehouse at Westminster, you are sent to the Tower on December 4th. That brings us back to the 9th, where we are now. Now, there's a good chance that you have already been racked. It was pretty standard punishment at the time. Again, learn more about that on our rack episode. But after the rack...
Bury your face in boobs. Is what
you are... Please,
they didn't call it a motorboat back then, you see, because you know, there's no such thing as a motorboat, so they just call it a rack.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. The paddle
boat. Don't, please stop motorboating me. What are you talking about? What is this motorboat of which you speak? He's a devil! Get him!
But after the rack, you are taken to a relatively small, A-shaped piece of metal on the floor. You are made to crouch on the ground, your knees to your chest. Very hard to do after... God knows how much time on the rack. Then with a fair share of squashing and maneuvering, the device is wrapped around your neck, then shackled to your wrists and ankles, crushing you into a not just uncomfortable, but excruciatingly painful and, in left in too long, permanently debilitating position. This was the torture of the scavenger's daughter. So just like, T-Rex in it with your arms.
Yeah. I remember seeing an image of it and it reminded me of some form of like food press type thing. Did you ever see that thing that they use to, you've probably seen a video of where a guy like loads tons of fried chicken into this vat and pulls this thing down and squeezes it and all the fat comes out. It kind of reminded me of like what I imagined the inside of that looked like when the thing gets shut down. But you know what I mean? Like if you took away the outer part of the vat. That's kind of what I had in my mind. It's like I can just imagine now somebody just kind of crushing him down further, like a clove of garlic or something.
Well, they would have to like get on top of them and push him down to get him into the position because the A-frame was so small. Apparently, extremely heavy because it's all iron and hinged and everything. It's got a bunch of fucking loops and shit on it. But yeah, you'd have to get crushed way fucking down. Hunched over, folded in half, pretty much to get
help if you're fat, you know.
Can't do it to me.
So they now do what they do on airplanes, and they get two of them instead, stick them together.
Like that Kevin Smith video from when he used to be fucking 300 some odd pounds. Now, the tale says that Luke was left in this device for over an hour. Even so, he did not recant his religion or give up any other Catholics or conspirators to the torturer. And the next year, he would be convicted of treason. And in May of 1852, he would be hanged, drawn, and quartered alongside other priests like William Filby and Lawrence Richardson. If you'd like to know more about hanged, drawn, and quartered, go listen to our horses episode. See, in this podcast, it's all one big circle. It all comes back around. Covering
something
like now.
The breaking wheel? What's the circle?
Yes, exactly. If you want to know more about breaking wheel, I don't have enough cards on our YouTube videos for all these fucking things that we're bringing up. Now, another that would be executed that day would be one Thomas Cottam, born also 1549 in Lancashire to Protestant parents. He would, after earning a BA and MA at Oxford and becoming a master of a grammar school in London, convert to Catholicism in 1575. He would then become a deacon in 1577 and enter the Jesuit in Rome in 1579. He then fell ill and was sent to Lyon to recover. Charles Sled, an agent working for Sir Francis Walsingham.
Worcestershire.
Exactly. In the court of Old Liz, would infiltrate Jesuit College and gather information on priests being smuggled into England. The spy Sled, as he was commonly known, had been in Rome and traveled with some Englishmen to Lyon, where he met Cottam. He discovered that Cottam intended to go back to England after his recovery, and Sled gave all the information to the English ambassador in France. And when Cottam landed in Dover in June, along with four other companions, including a one Dr. Humphrey Ely, he was immediately arrested. But Ely had a plan. Oh, it's all very Ocean's 11.
Yeah, see, I was going to say it's all very Blackadder, but yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, Humphrey was a committed Catholic and a doctor of civil and canon law, and was closely associated with the Catholic exile community. And he knew that once they landed in England, the authorities would most likely be waiting to grab any and all Catholics and arrest them. So Ely traveled in disguise, using the alias Harvard or Howard. And when the priests were arrested, the authorities assumed he was a layman and for some reason entrusted him with escorting the prisoners to London and handing them over to Lord Cobham, the governor of the ports.
So hey, here's guy, the plan. We just met.
Here's the plan. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to dress up like just some Joe Blow fucking shit, all right? And then we're going to come off the boat, and they're going to be like, arrest the priest. And I'll be like, I got it. I'll take care of it.
Yeah. I'll take care of that bomb for you.
You, sir, who we've never met before, who look just like a regular person. Take them to the Lord.
Do our jobs for us, please.
Yeah. It's the weirdest fucking plan.
Like, what the fuck? So, like, that's like the cops here, let's say, pulling somebody over. And then some random guy is out walking his dog. They say, hey, you, bring him down to the station. And then they just drive off.
Yeah. Hey, you, I gotta get going. Don't worry about why. Take them down to the station. You know how to fill out a ticket form? You know how to give them a ticket? Here, the instructions are on the back. It's fine. I gotta go. I'm late for a massage. Now, once they were safely out of Dover, Ely simply let Cottam go. He's like, you see him? Do you still see him? No, they're gone? Get the fuck out of here. Just pull over to the side of the road.
Get out of here.
Let him drop off into the woods. However, Cottam's conscience couldn't take that knowing Ely was going to be in prison because of him, voluntarily surrendered himself soon after. So that's what your conscience should be pained over, is the fact that he's still going to go to prison and you still gave yourself up. He did it for a reason. Honor his reason. It's like, I can't be caught because this man will have gone to prison for no reason.
Silly.
Can you imagine just getting thrown in prison and looking over and Ely's
the
like,
guy standing there.
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
I'm in prison because of you.
It's like in every horror movie, there's always that person that sacrifices themselves so everybody can get away. And the person trying to sacrifice themselves for, just stand there going, no, don't do it. Don't do it. And then he's standing there and the person dies and then they're still in trouble. Every single fucking time. Every fucking time.
I'll stand and hold them off. You guys run. And then they run 5 feet and stop. The guy dies. And then the killer's still coming after him.
No!
He was my best friend!
The best one of those was Kong. Was it Skull Island? Where your man's takes the grenades.
It's the funniest part of the movie. Yeah. It's the funniest part of the movie. Zoom! Just blows up.
That's really fucking great. I really like that actor, actually. He's in the new Mission Impossible. That's who he is.
Oh, yeah? From what I understand,
he was in a previous one as well. No, I didn't. No, it was pretty fucking boring, being honest.
Yeah, which is weird for a Mission Impossible movie. Mission Impossible movies
They do the usual old same tropey shit that they do. Like, you're not going to ruin anything on you, but there's a bit in it where a guy kind of goes like, Oh, I made sure I had a had an escape plan, basically. And just in case, I brought two of them. So straight away, I was like, so we brought two identical vehicles, most likely in two different colours, so we can tell them apart, and you're going to have a chase with Ethan in them. And next thing, the chase ensues.
Yeah.
One's in one colour, one's in another colour, so you can know which one's which. It's like, it happens every goddamn time. Severe lack of arm reloads from Henry Cavill, because he's not in
it. Oh, that's good.
So... Yeah.
Unless you're into that kind of thing.
I thought it was fucking hilarious, the arm reloading thing, and that was brilliant. Let's go.
I think that just to show that Henry Cavill is completely an actor and has no idea how to actually fight.
Yeah.
Look, this is what they do, right? This is what they do.
Click, click, baby.
Until you pop your elbow out of socket.
Yeah. But anyway, go watch it, make up your own mind about it. I just very bored my ass at killing me by the end of it, and that was before the movie. When we were finished up with all those six strange men, then we went to watch the film. And my ass was even more sore afterwards.
Anyway. Wife said she wanted five guys, and I was like, okay, well, we're going to have to eat afterwards.
Yeah. And I wanted a bit extra, so went for six.
Now, Cottam was held as a close prisoner in Marshalsea until being transferred to the Tower. Also on December 4th, where it is said he was tortured once on the rack and twice on the scavenger's daughter. Now, before his death from being hanged, drawn, and quartered, he declared, quote, "I will not swerve a jot from my faith for anything." Both he and Luke Kirby were later beatified by Pope Leo XIII. So, how did this thing come to be? Well, for that, we go back to 1497, Skeffington Hall, Leicestershire, and the birth of Leonard Skeevington, the son of Sir William the Gunner Skeevington, a Tudor knight and Lord Deputy of Ireland, and his first wife, Margaret Digby. Now, William had served as Master of the Ordnance under Henry VIII and twice as Lord Deputy in Ireland, which brought the family into close contact with the Tudors. Leonard would have most likely served alongside his father in Ireland during the 1534-1535 rebellions, as well as receiving military training, and was groomed for Tudor administrative or martial service. Now, after his father's death in 1535, Leonard, with already established ties to the Tudors, secured powerful roles in the kingdom. He was, at some point, appointed lieutenant of the Tower of London by Henry VIII, and he oversaw high-profile prisoners like Anne Boleyn, Catherine Howard, Sir Walter Raleigh, Sir Thomas More, and eventually, Old Liz herself. Now, it was also his responsibility to come up with new interrogation methods. You know, use your creativity and your ingenuity. Find out what's the best way to torture these people that come in. I imagine at some point he's just like a hammer.
Yeah, stick. Corkscrew.
Yeah. I mean, what do we got lying around?
Butcher's mallet.
Yeah, you know, literally. Tenderizer. Yeah. I watched Novocaine yesterday. Have you ever seen Novocaine yet?
Yeah, we saw that. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, he's pulling the fucking fingernails out. It's like, literally, you can use anything.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was screaming. He's just like,
They do that in an Irish movie as well.
I'm usually good with pretty much anything until they get to the feet. I don't know, for some reason, foot stuff just...
Then he gets horny.
Just... Well, I can't watch anymore.
Say, oh, my God. Thank God I put this hole in this popcorn bucket.
Now, he decides to come up with a clean alternative to the rack. So he engineered, or most likely had a blacksmith engineer, an A-frame compression device with circular part of the top for the neck, two legs with areas for the wrists, or upper arms about a third to halfway down, and two hinged areas for the ankles at the bottom with a bar to go in between them to keep the victim from flexing the contraption. Now, getting someone into this device was
easy. It sounds like he saw a lot of shit in the ground and went, yeah, not there. Get a person in there.
He's looking at the alphabet, and he sees the A, and he goes, oh, I tried it with the F and it didn't work, but the A might be the one.
We all know giant letter T has been used by the Catholics for years. Yeah. Can't go using that.
Can't use that one. The Catholics and the Jews use the T ironic. Too much. And the X. They've used the X.
Nobody likes H. Q's. It's like a full circle.
It's like a circle with a kickstand.
Yeah. Now, nobody appreciates someone... how fancy a Q is trying to look. God damn it.
Yes. Just try it's the Fred from Scooby-Doo of the alphabet. It's got that ascot on.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Trying to look proper for a black tie meal, and nobody uses it. It's like, we can only use the Q if there's a U after it. Otherwise, we don't need it. Now, getting stupid someone into this is stupid letter.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. Surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Let thebeardstruggle.com cream all over your beard.
What?
With the Beard Struggles all new beard cream.
Oh, thank God.
Now everybody can get nice and creamy.
I think what he means to say is that with ingredients like glycerin and shea butter, avocado and jojoba oils, it's perfect for everyone, anytime.
Night, day, hot, cold. You're going to get that cream.
Okay, and hyaluronic acid ensures deep hydration without the grease for a long beard or just some scruff.
Creamy scruff without the grease.
Dude, gotta stop. And as always, use our exclusive discount code TORTURE19 and take up to 19% off at checkout.
Getting creamy and taking it off.
Okay, we need to end this. TheBeardStruggle.com. Do what's right for your beard. Do what's right for your face.
Sort your sexy, creamy fucking beard out.
Oh, boy. Getting someone into this device was easier said than done. It wasn't like the rack where they just lay down and tie them in. It took time and energy. So first, the prisoner would kneel or crouch on the ground, arms and legs pulled tightly in. Then the top circle of the frame would be put around the back of the neck. Then the wrists would be strapped into the hoops that were halfway down. Then, in order to get the ankles into the bottom hinges, the torturer would sometimes have to kneel on the back of the prisoner to squash them down enough to lock the feet in. Now, this would cause intense pressure on the spine, rib cage, and joints. And since it was normally used in conjunction with the rack, it would have been even more painful because most of the victim's joints and muscles were already dislocated or torn.
How has nobody come up with a wrestling submission move called the Scavenger's Daughter? And
Scavenger's Daughter?
Something like that. Listen, you're like,
I mean, I think if you look deep enough into
reverse.
Yo, Yeah. If you look deep enough into the independent scene, I'm sure there's probably somebody out there, maybe. That's what they call their small package pin, is the scavenger's daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
And they get up and everyone's like, we don't understand the reference because we're normal people.
Yeah. Look, at least it would make far more sense as a thing than some of the ones I've witnessed recently. So some of the
wrestling moves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that one? I don't know, it's one of the diva ones or whatever does this front flip off a rope and like does a thing that's similar to an RKO, but it's all based on the person that she's doing it to, just flailing beforehand for no reason.
Oh yeah, Sol Ruka does one where it's like a flip into an RKO. It's cool to look at,
but it's one of the most obvious,
yeah,
setup ones that you'd ever see. Because the person who's standing next to you, like, oh no, I better just dive forward for no reason.
I have to stand this way and move forward. Yeah, there's a few of them like that. You gotta put reality aside and just appreciate the
art. I know, yeah. Sometimes simple is better, though.
Yeah,
a good old-fashioned swanton bomb.
There you go.
From 60 feet up in the air.
But then also, when he would do a swanton off of just the fucking top rope, you'd still see people on the ground kind of doing the scooch.
Ah, of course they do. Yeah, yeah.
Around 3 inches too far to the left. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Now, if left in the device for long enough, the spine could start to dislocate, slipping discs. Vascular pressure could become so severe that the prisoner could bleed from the nose, ears, mouth, and eyes. Blood vessels would rupture, organs damaged, and eventual loss of consciousness. Breathing would be restricted. The inability to move could create a sense of panic. And if left in long enough, the prisoner could experience long-term nerve damage or even die from the position.
Where's your God now, motherfucker?
Where's your Catholic God now, scum, rebel scum? Again, Darth Vader, Luke's father. Now, this wasn't the only version of the stork, as it was sometimes known. There was a simpler version that would be created probably by the tower staff in the later 1500s. It's like, this thing's great, but we need to change it up a little bit. It's the same old around here. You rack them, you scavenger's daughter them.
Yeah. Let's get something a bit more foreign and exotic up in this place.
Yeah. Where's the inspiration? I mean, where is my inspiration for this? I'm going to my trailer.
I got it. It's called a Mongolian crossbar.
There you go. That might be a wrestling move. Oh.
Yeah.
The Mongolian crossbar.
It is now.
Now, instead of an A-frame hinged type device, it was known as a hoop and band. It was known as a hoop or band and pin style. Now, this version was created apparently because it was lighter and easier to transport or use directly in the dungeon cells rather than in the designated torture room in the tower. And all it was a small base with two or possibly up to six iron bands that came off of it, one on each side of the base, and looped up. Then at the top, they were joined together by a large screw or pin that would allow them to tighten or loosen when needed. The prisoner would kneel down on the base inside the iron hoops. They would pull the arms and press their thighs into their chest. Then the torturer would then put the screws in the hole at the top of the hoops and begin to tighten. As the hoops tightened around,
put the screw in the tuna.
That might be where put the screws to them came from. Who knows?
Something on their thumbs or something like that, wasn't it? I don't know.
We covered that on our treadmill episode.
Yeah, that's true.
What was it? Was it the treadmill episode? Which episode was that week? We actually covered where put the screws to them came from, and we've had so many episodes with this bullshit, I can't remember which one.
here's an idea for you, right? Everybody,
sure.
Go back, listen to them all.
Let's do every single
email
episode.
Us and let us know which one it was in after you've listened to all the previous episodes. I'm going to be honest, I was actually thinking of this iteration of it when I was saying about the pressing can thing.
Because it
looks like somebody could be tightening it up and it going down.
Yeah, like somebody squishing. I'd wondered if that was the one you were thinking
of. Was that version.
Yeah, crushing fucking olives into olive oil and all that shit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the first time we couldn't remember which episode something came from, by the way. I remember a couple years ago somebody messaging us about talking about Catwoman. So you mentioned Catwoman at some point in one episode. It's like, I do not remember any of that. But then they gave us like the episode and the timestamp and all that. It's like, oh, okay. It's good to know people pay attention sometimes.
Well, I don't.
No. Clearly.
Yeah, well, look, all the episodes we've done, and I never once mentioned one particular musical artist when it came to quite a number of songs that are named after devices, and I've literally only seen it now while getting it up for this one. And I've gone
up
the album, and there's several of them, and it's an artist I actually listen to. So there's a whole album dedicated to this shit. Looks so anyway.
I mean,
sorry,
I'm the one who writes all the shit. You'd think I would remember, and I don't remember half of it. Anyway, as the hoops tighten around the body, the prisoner would begin to be crushed, and as the pressure would increase, blood vessels in the head and face would begin to burst, leaving bruising and swelling. The lungs wouldn't be able to expand, making breathing all but impossible. Your bones would break, joints would snap, and left in for too long, you'd die. And there's really no way of knowing which style was used on whom, but there is a good chance that this type was used on one of the most famous of his prisoners, Thomas Maya. At least that's how ChatGPT told me how to pronounce it, because I had to ask it because nothing else would tell me. M-I-A-G-H. Maya. It's an Irish name.
I actually had it up.
Did you?
There a minute ago, give you 2 seconds and I'll play it.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure it is that, but there's an ad playing that's really loud and you're going to hear through this, I'd say. The ultimate paper pro tablet. Fuck off.
Not affiliated with Torch Potting.
There's an Irish guy saying it, and I don't know if it's like an AI thing or what it is, but it's just the most boring fucking Irish voice. He goes, my. So it's my.
Okay.
Apparently.
Then Thomas My. That's fine too. Now, Thomas was an Irish prisoner held in the Tower during 1581 to 1583, accused of connections with Irish rebellions under old Lizzie's rule. He was tortured with the scavenger's daughter and probably the rack in other ways. Having never received a proper trial, on November 5th, 1581, he was granted liberty of the Tower, which meant he had limited freedom within its walls. He wasn't able to leave, but he could wander around, go get a coffee, you know, maybe a croissant down at Panera, walk by people who's like, hey, Thomas, hey, gonna torture you later. Oh, can't wait. You know, all that.
Enjoy that croissant, motherfucker.
Now, he was finally released in 1583 and would be appointed Keeper of the Gale at Naas in Ireland. I'm guessing I'm saying Naas, right? Yeah. N-A-A-S? How is it? That's how it's spelled. And I understand the Irish language. Nothing's pronounced how it's spelled. It's almost as bad as French.
I've never heard it said that way before, anyway.
Naas?
It's Nace.
Nace?
The way you say mace, but with an N, yeah.
Well, Naas. Then it should be N-A-S-E. Or N-A-C-E. That'd be
look,
closer.
I'm not going to disagree with you, but
I'm not saying that the spelling of words doesn't make sense, but
yeah, we both know it's arseways as all hell over here. So
okay, the Gale at Naas. There you go. Ireland. Now, this all sounds pretty humdrum for being the Iron Shackle's most famous victim, but it wasn't his story or actual torture that made him famous. It was what he left behind. In the Bowsham Tower, Thomas was able to carve a powerful inscription. Dan, if you will.
Sure, be Gara. Thomas May, which lieth here alone, that fain would from hence be gone, by torture strange, my troth was tried. I think that's what it says.
Yeah.
Yet my liberty denied. 1581, Thomas May. Thomas May.
May. This inscription is still there. Is still there today, just above the falcon crest of Anne Boleyn. You go to the Tower of London, you go to that top, to the Bosham Tower, it is actually still there. You can read those words, you know, I don't know if they let you touch them or not, but they
That's
are.
That's cool. I've been there and there. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That being said, it was there when I was a kid, so if I go back again, I'll look forward.
It's definitely something I'll be looking for if I ever get to go. Yeah. Be pretty
the problem with that, though, is that means you have to go to England, so... The land of the enemy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not too worried about him, but I know you.
We'll go there and we'll do a live show just for Sam. Because he'd be the only one that'll go.
I would fuck... Yeah, because the English don't want to hear about all their atrocities because 90% of this podcast is about them.
Yeah, so we won't be doing one in the Vatican either.
Yeah, no. No. You're like, well, you guys are doing a live podcast at the Tower of London. That's pretty cool. What's it about? History of torture? Yeah, I'm not going to go to that.
It should be an
that's
ideal
about
place
us.
For doing it, though. That's the funniest thing. It'd be the best place in the world to fucking do it. That's
our
goal.
Yes, that would be... Yeah. I mean, that would be fucking awesome.
Yeah. Play and D&D with Vin Diesel. Not really, though.
With Vin Diesel.
I've stoned that for your man from Critical Role, so no.
Joe Manganiello, all those
celebrities. No, for me, it would actually be Sam. Fucking Sam Witwer. Darth Maul's voice. Basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he also did the Force Unleashed games. He was the main and protagonist in that.
Alright.
And he's one of the first zombies in The Walking Dead.
Oh!
He's the one in the tank.
Yes! Now I know what the fuck you're talking about. Now I know who you're talking about. Yeah!
The man's a fucking legend. Absolutely. I messaged him and said to him, hey, would you play D&D with me? He didn't respond. Sam, come on!
Oh, respond to my
watching,
boy.
Sam.
Come on, send him like a get well soon card or something through the mail. So I can't believe you'd be ill enough to think I would respond to your text message.
Yeah, he's like, "Who the fuck are you? Stop texting me."
I want to go to the Torture Museum out in Chicago and do a recording there. So
yeah, that'd be really cool. Be I remember looking at that place up before. It was really cool.
Yeah, it's neat. I want to interview
plus you get to go to Gotham City then as a result. So
yeah, interview the curator or something. That'd be fun. Anyway, now you might be wondering, how did it go from the Skevington's Jives, which was the original name for it, Skevington's Jives, and I'm told that it's pronounced Jives, G-Y-V-E-S, but I'm told it's pronounced Jives. To the Scavenger's Daughter.
Sounds
well,
like a dance.
The Skevington's Jive.
Look at those Skevington's Jive.
Look at them all do the Skevington's Jive. That's like, as our boys got flat off to World War II right after they do the Skevington's Jive. Random nightclub. Now, while the Jives is an archaic... it's an archaic word for shackles or fetters made of iron. So Skevington's Jives is equal to Skevington's Shackles. Then, because the Rack was sometimes known as the Duke of Exeter's Daughter, and the Skevington's Shackles was used in conjunction with the Rack, it was then nicknamed the Skevington's Daughter. And then, after centuries of mispronunciation, it, at some point, became the Scavenger's Daughter because they went from Skevington's to Scavenger's because nobody knew what the fuck a Skevington was. So,
it also has a more foreign and exotic name, though, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah. And for all the times they call it, like, the Spanish A-frame or the Spanish cravats, remember, they named, huh?
That's what I was talking about. That's the exotic name.
Yeah. They named... We've talked about this before. They gave these things names of countries that they hated for propaganda and to really punch in the horror of them. Oh, it's Spanish, the Spanish A-frame, so it's going to be fucking horrible when the English were the ones who actually created it. But you got to, you know, scare the...
Why didn't they call everything the French something? Because nobody likes them.
Well, because the French something isn't scary. It's like, oh, I'll get in and I'll break. It'll give up the second they put me in the
thing.
That's
true, yeah. These little white flags pop over straight away.
Yeah. Put you in the rack and they tighten you up once and all of a sudden the white flags pop up and the whole machine just breaks apart. And little men run out of it going, I surrender.
And it smells like cheese.
It's like, that's the only thing about it I liked. It's the brain. Yeah. No, you either called it the Spanish something or you gave it an Oriental name. Those are the two things that were the scariest.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Now, during the reign of Charles I and with attitudes changing about due process and the use of torture, the Tower records and council papers show no reference to the scavenger's daughter after 1640. So, more than likely, that's when they stopped using it. They continued to use the rack after that. But they're like, you know what? We really need to calm down on the torture. We either need to stretch or we need to press. I vote on we keep stretching. I say we just keep stretching. It's easier. People are usually taller afterwards. They have a good experience with it. They can play basketball.
Well, look, it must have been effective enough in the sense that like it's very rare that something lasts in usage for that long in general.
150 some odd years, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but it ain't broken all that.
I mean, that's a generational torture device. You're tortured in it, your daddy was tortured in it, your granddaddy was tortured in it, your great granddaddy was tortured in it.
That'd be the equivalent.
And which is weird is one of them was a Catholic, the other one was a Protestant, the next one is Catholic, and you're a Protestant, and you all got tortured in it because they kept changing their fucking minds as who the bad guy was.
Religion. Yeah. So I was sitting there, it's like, you're in this next week, Joe. What's the bets? It's like, no. Go back to Catholics. No. Protestants. No.
It's the father gets tortured, and he comes home and he goes, son, whatever you do, don't be a Catholic. They'll torture you. So you grow up your whole life being Protestant, and then you're the bad guy now.
They torture
and then you go home to your son, and you go, son, don't be a Protestant, because they'll torture you. And he grows up as a Catholic, and the next thing you fucking know, old Liz is in there, and she's fucking racking people because she hates Catholics. So you can't win, no matter which way you go.
Racking them up.
So we're racking them up. Paddle boat me, baby. Yeah. Dan, any
no,
pop
Liz,
culture?
No,
any pop culture?
First pop culture. That is a few. Yeah. So, good old IMDb to the rescue.
Yeah.
There is a movie called Scavenger's Daughter. What relevance it has to the thing? Is absolutely zero.
It's probably just about some guy who picks up roadkill and eats it, and then he has a daughter.
Well, probably.
That's the scavenger's daughter.
There's an episode called Scavenger's Daughter of a TV series that I've never seen. I've seen some of the actors that are in it, like Greg Breek. I think
What's
he's an amazing
show?
Actor. It's called Bitten. So, or else...
That's a werewolf show, isn't it?
Is it?
I think so.
And I ain't never seen it. Maybe it is.
The first thing that pops in your
head.
Yes,
would be it is.
Vampire. But
episode
sure
description.
It's a werewolf show.
Episode description. The pack is the first two words. So yes.
There you go.
Yeah. And then the one then that. Oh, hold on a second. There is. What's this from? Revelation Space Wikipedia thing. Some sci-fi thing here. Scavenger's Daughter.
Yeah.
Was a spaceship in. Some sci-fi thing. I can't even get down to what it's actually about. But anyway.
Weird name.
I just followed the link. Yeah. And then the big one for me then, which annoyed the living shit out of me, is John 5 has an album called Requiem. Requiem. And there's a song on it called Scavenger's Daughter.
Really?
There is also a song on it called Heretic's Fork. There is also a song called Pair of Anguish.
Nice.
Yeah, and The Judas Cradle.
Nice.
Yeah.
Not particularly nice, but yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of it. There's other stuff that's there. Maybe might be one or two things maybe we haven't covered yet. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He'll give me the list later so we can round out the whole album.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. We get John on here then and get him to
there you go.
Finish it off with us. John's a cool guy. I like John.
No Taylor Swift songs, I'm guessing.
No, I don't really see her to be the sort to write a song about this, even though I wish she did. You know,
yeah, I'm the scavenger's daughter. My heart was broken by some douchebag. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, you put my heart into Skevington's
Jives.
Like, oh, Thomas. Meh. That's what it was. She loved Thomas. Meh.
Oh, thank you to our patrons, Williquin Fowler and Sam Burr. You could sign up at our Patreon as well at patreon.com/torturepod. 1 week of our cult leader tier for free. Contact with us on the socials at torturepod. Email torturepod@gmail.com. buymeacoffee.com/torturepod if you want to donate. redbubble.com/people/torturepod for merch. All Pride merch profits donated to the Trevor Project, and they kind of need it right now because our Cheeto in Chief just decided, hey, we're going to get rid of the LGBTQ suicide hotline. It's not doing any good. Even though people in that community commit or attempt suicide more than almost any other group of people in this country, he decided to get rid of their suicide hotline. So there's no point.
Yeah, so I know I'm never going to get into that country now as long as he's in charge, because the amount of times I've called him an absolute prick and other things on social media.
Yeah. But,
like, it's gone a bit above and beyond ridiculous at this stage. Just in case he ever sees this, you, sir, are a fucking prick.
There you
go. An absolutely disgusting fucking human being. Go fuck yourself.
I wish his father would have been a good as father of Chris Benoit.
Yeah, that's true.
Would have done the world a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of good. So the Trevor Project has tried to step up and do their own type of suicide hotline or helpline for the LGBTQIA plus youth. And I know Canada has been giving out their number for their suicide hotline for that community and has been letting people call in toll free, even though it's across international borders. So
if you're calling over, hey, buddy.
What are you doing, buddy?
Yeah.
I don't think you should do that, buddy. It's not a good idea, buddy.
I'm not your buddy.
We've apologized for Brian Adams many times, buddy. go rate and review wherever you can. Thank you to our sponsors. You can support us by supporting them. Hint for our season 4 premiere. Some men just want to watch the world burn. And some do it while playing the fiddle. Allegedly. Allegedly.
It's about Batman. Now,
it's about Alfred. He's the main villain in the Batman universe because he got
more line. Yeah,
Bruce Wayne
Tangerine.
Is just
blah blah blah.
Bruce Wayne is just mentally ill, so he got all these actors to act like supervillains. Alfred did, so Bruce Wayne thinks that he's actually doing stuff. He's just beating up stuntmen.
Nice.
He's just
is that. Why that just, one guy just flips over in the background out of nowhere. One of the fight scenes.
Pretty much. That's why the henchmen only come and fight him one or two at a time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
His
tell you
wonderful
what.
Martial arts. Yeah.
Nobody's henchmen were better than Joker's in the original Batman movie, the Tim Burton one.
Yeah.
They were just so fucking badass. The guys going around with the leather jackets and they had like the scarves on like that. So, you know, yeah, I just thought they were the badassest motherfuckers going, so they were.
Boom boxes and
yeah.
It's good.
Cool. Let's watch that movie again.
Now, before we finish, I understand there's the elephant in the room of this season has been kind of hectic. Oh, there's the two little children back there. There might be an elephant back here somewhere. Roger Rabbit, by the way, if you didn't pick up on that.
I guess from the animation, yeah.
Yeah. We've been kind of sporadic with our recordings this season. And we understand it can be a little frustrating. We have both felt it. But you know what? Sometimes we took a long hiatus because we both needed the time off. And then there's been times since then where one of us or the other one has needed to take a week off or two weeks off. And it just, that's the way I understand. You look at, I think there's like 18 or 19 episodes this season versus like 26 in our other two. I get it. It sucks. We are going to try best we can to stick to a proper schedule, but I can't guarantee that we're always going to be able to put out an episode.
Sometimes life gets in the way.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get in the way. Sometimes you get in the way. Sometimes shit happens. Personally, I blame Kevin. But for me, it's an easy one. Like, I ended up moving into a house that needed to be completely gutted from work from the ground up again. And it's been fucking hell. you know?
It really has.
Yeah. Coming to a close on it. Getting so close.
Yeah, you're getting there. My big thing was we were trying to figure out a way to actually buy this fucking house without losing our shit. And just the immense amount of work that I have to do at my job, 12-hour shifts, 6 days a week sometimes, doesn't leave me a lot of time to do this. We get burnt out a little bit, and we have other shit that we got to take care of. We will put out episodes as regularly as we possibly can. But it's going to happen again where we got to skip a week or 2 weeks. We're not going in. If we go somewhere, we will let you know. But if we miss an episode, it's just we're going to try to do better season 4. But that's all I can promise you.
We shall do the very best
that
is physically possible within the realms of living a life and working 9-to-5s and having families.
What I could say is if you want regular episodes every 2 weeks, then start donating, start buying from our sponsors, start buying from our affiliates.
Yeah, make it so I can quit my job.
Make it to where we don't have to go to actual jobs and we can just do this for a living.
Yeah, we can just jump up at 12 o'clock and be like, hey, let's do an episode. Cool.
Yeah.
You know,
we can do a bunch of shit then. We can do live episodes. We can do more than one episode every 2 weeks. We can bump it up a little bit.
You know, we can finally do torture a la carte.
Yes. Yeah. We can do plenty of stuff, but until that happens, you're just going to have to, you know, live with what we can give you.
Yeah, anyway, exactly.
Dan, any words of wisdom?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Don't convert to Catholicism.
I mean, that's just a general good idea.
Yeah.
I was thinking more focused word of wisdom. But yeah, that's a pretty broad, don't do that.
Yeah, that's, you know, look. You know my views. If that's what you want, go on ahead.
As long as you're not fucking somebody else's life over, who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I am sweaty as fuck. All my ice is melting.
And bear in mind, if you do convert, here's the thing. There's an awful lot of stuff to do with what's written down in the teachings. And all this other bullshit to do with all of them are hundreds, if not thousands of years old in some ways. The world is not the same as it once was when all that shit was written down. And as well as that, King James chose the pieces that he liked the most and stuck them into it. So there's an awful lot gone out of there. So, and there's a whole heap of stuff thrown in there to just help him justify what he wanted to do. So,
exactly.
Take for what you will, but it is not the word of God, it is the word of King James.
And the men who wrote it before him, that he liked that part. Like any of the homosexual bashing that is in the Bible comes from King James feeling guilty about being gay himself.
And there you go.
I mean, that's all it is. So, just do whatever you want. Just don't adversely affect somebody else's life. That's what I say.
Yeah.
I don't care what you do, who you worship. As long as you're not hurting anybody else, I don't give a shit. Or yourself. I don't give a shit. Anyway. Happy 4th of July to those of you in America. I know it's hard to find pride in our country right now. But we defeated kings before, and we'll defeat wannabe kings now. God damn it.
Don't even put him into that whole thing. It's like, you know what he reminds me of, right? So let's look at it from a Star Wars perspective here for a second. Right?
Okay, all right.
He thinks, right, he's Palpatine. But what he actually is that little rat thing that hangs out with Jabba the Hutt.
I'll go you one better. He thinks he's Yoda.
Actually, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Different color.
He thinks but that Joe Biden is Palpatine, which they do kind of look closer to. Joe is starting to look like Palpatine a little bit. But he thinks he's Yoda. He thinks he's Rey, or he's Luke Skywalker, when in reality he's, you know.
That little or rat what's the name? Next what's, to Jabba.
Yeah, the rat fucker next to Jabba the Hutt. Or the what's the little flying worm thing's name that ran the it was Anakin's boss. Phantom Menace.
Watto.
Is it Watto?
Yeah.
Is that Watto?
It's Watto or Watto or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. That's
who owned Anakin as a slave.
Who owned Anakin?
Watto, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Watto?
Yeah.
Yeah. He wants to be Jabba the Hutt.
What are you talking about?
He wants to be a gangster, but really, he's not.
He's not been either, honey. Go fuck yourself.
He wants to be Jabba the Hutt. He's Pizza the Hutt.
Yeah. I'd listen to Jabba talk all day long and over him. I love listening to Jabba.
Alright, that's enough from us. We'll see you on our season 4 premiere. Take care of yourselves, take care of one another.
I'll be wearing a lot less clothes that day.
If it's any hotter, I might too.
Today's episode is brought to you by PodUp.com.
Let's be honest, whether you want to admit it or not, you've probably thought at some point to start a podcast. I mean, podcasts are fun. You and I have a good time on here, Dan.
Just get on, talk junk.
Yeah. I mean, it's some dark content. What we're talking about isn't necessarily fun, but we make it fun. We have a good time. And we would never even met each other if it weren't for podcasts. So
that's true. Podcasts and Canadians.
Podcasts and Canadians. Little D&D threw it in there. I mean, change your life.
Well, there are about 5 million podcasts out there, and around 90% of those stop after just 3 episodes. That's including about 1.8 million that stop before they even start, which we know thing or two about that, though, to be fair.
Do, unfortunately.
Quite a few still on the drawing room floor.
Of those that do get started and pass that 3 episode mark, about 90% of those don't get past 20 episodes. And there's a reason. Podcasting is hard. Well, successful podcasting is hard.
Yeah, it's not just sitting in front of a microphone and talking for an hour. No, sometimes that's what it is for me. It's recording, audio editing, video editing, social media, promotion, blah, blah, blah. All the stuff that Kevin does.
And I do. And finding and paying for all that software to use can be just as big of a headache, not to mention expensive.
Well, with PodUp, you can have a one-stop shop for everything you need to take your podcast to the next level.
35 powerful modules with AI integration and one software, you can create, publish, grow, monetize, and manage your podcast with a simple, easy-to-use interface.
Everything from a site builder and recorder to editing for video and audio, live streams, blogs, and transcriptions.
Legal, newsletters, SEO.
Setting up shops, getting ads and sponsorships.
Managing your workflow, files, and even backing up your content.
Set up an account today and get 14 days free. And even schedule a demo with one of PodUp's podcasting experts to see how to start producing and monetizing your very own podcast.
And when you're ready, use our exclusive coupon code TORTURE15 for 15% off whichever package you decide to go with.
And if you're a professional that's even too busy for that, go to podallies.com.
Yeah, their done-for-you podcast production and marketing service will take care of the dirty work for you.
Dirty. We're talking websites, social media, editing work, SEO, all done for you. So you can just focus on being the star of the show, like me, and getting on with your day, unlike Kevin, who has to do all the work.
That's why everybody comes, is for Dan. And this team of experts will use PodUp software to put your podcast on the map where it belongs. See, just they're using PodUp software. It's all one big circle. It's coming all, it's always coming back around.
Like opposite of a square.
That's right. There
you go. So, go to podup.com and podallies.com and use our coupon TORTURE15 for 15% off. That's TORTURE15 for 15% off.
Podup.com, the ultimate podcasting platform.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.